It is Friday, September 6th. Let's talk PlayStation. Starting off with our PS Plus reminder for the month of September 2019, it is Darksiders 3 and Batman Arkham Knight. You have plenty of time to grab these games. Now, our first news story, I'll be honest, not very pertinent information. However, The Last of Us, Uncharted 2 and 3 multiplayer on PS3 is now over. So September 3rd was the last day to play these games, and Sony gave out a warning, like, well in advance. But I would just like to mention that, as an FYI, these games are now impossible to platinum if you didn't complete the multiplayer trophies for these games. Also, if you already have a platinum, but you don't have 100% yet, it's also impossible to get 100% now because 2 and 3 for Uncharted had plenty of multiplayer DLC packs as well. So, just saying, I'm pretty sure these games could keep going forward with Excellent Kai, though, but that would be much more complicated and annoying to try and beat the games that way. So, just letting you know. And also, this is a good segue into our next news story about Drive Club on the PlayStation Store. So, a few people last week were upset that I didn't remind them that the game was getting delisted from the PlayStation Store, which, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that real quick. So, August 31st was going to be the last day that the game would be removed from the store. Now, mind you, you could still go at retail and try to find it used or something. It's not like you can't buy the game physically anymore, but on the PlayStation Store, it was getting removed. And what's interesting about this is that the game was removed early in certain territories, but in the US, still on the store. I just checked, and it's still up there, so I don't know why that is, but at the very least, if you are in the US, take advantage of it now if you want the game digitally and locally stored on your PS4 hard drive. Now let's get into this very outlandish rumor, and as always with rumors, take it with a grain of salt, but this is very much so like the one that we talked about with PS5 2-3 weeks ago. This is out of 4chan, and so, again, I'll say like I said before, sometimes 4chan's right, but for every time that happens, there's 20, 30, 40, 50 occasions where they're completely wrong because they're anonymous and the information can't be verified. That's the thing with sites like Kotaku, IGN, GamesRadar, Eurogamer, you know, they're journalists in the games industry. They oftentimes have sources very close to people connected at developers and publishers. So that's how they, you know, post these stories, and that's why a lot of them end up being true when they're on a reputable site like that. So, you know, for something like this, we can kind of maybe brush this one off depending on what it sounds like, and this one's very, very off. So, it's about PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2. The rumor claims that this is coming out of Capcom and Sony, both developing it together, that it will be on PS5 on day one or close to the PS5 launch. It will have Aloy in there, the 2018 God of War character model, Spider-Man, that after a year it will come to PC. And so, you know, is this true? Probably not, for a few reasons. Now, let me just humor it real quick. If this were to be a thing that's actually happening behind the scenes, at least Sony's doing it right, which is that they're partnering with Capcom, big publisher in the fighting game genre, so that makes a lot of sense, and it actually kind of plays out nicely with what they did originally back in 2010 when the game was codenamed Title Fight, and Sony was vetting industry talent from other fighting game developers. And they purposely built a studio to make PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. So, I mean, it makes sense there. But even then, the rest of this sounds pretty off. The thing is, if it's this close to PS5, where it would be at the launch of PS5, and granted, we're expecting the damn thing a little over a year from now, I think we'd have rumors from those credible sites. This just seems too substantial. Especially something like Capcom, where it's like, we learn a lot about what Capcom's doing before they end up announcing it. It's just a thing where if this were to be happening, I don't think we'd be hearing it out of 4chan. And also, coming to PC a year later, now, mind you, Sony's been testing PC releases, and that certainly makes sense. However, there's a fine line we have to draw here, and it's what we've been talking about here a little bit, which is that they're experimenting, for sure. I've been saying that, and you can see it. But they're doing it with games that they're okay with letting go, like the Quantic Dream games, or Journey, or some of these smaller PSN titles, or my example was Concrete Genie. I think Concrete Genie is actually a good example of a game that Sean Layden was referring to. Like, you know, we may have to lean on a wider install base. I don't think they have a problem letting go of Concrete Genie on PC. But you're not going to see Kratos on PC. You're not going to see the next Uncharted or the next Last of Us on PC. It's just not going to happen. Those are the big names that are going to stick on PlayStation hardware that Sony wants you to buy PS hardware for. And so when you have a game with nothing but PlayStation IP in it, even if you're working with Capcom, I don't think they're going to let that game go to PC, or at the very least, I don't think that's what Sony wants. So I'm going to say that this probably isn't true, and the story didn't get picked up that widely. I know Push Square discredited it right away. GamesRadar picked it up, but I think a few other smaller sites. But just to clear the air here, I don't think this is likely at all. But moving on to something much more reasonable is Square Enix just recently released, in collaboration with NVIDIA, a new tech demo of their Luminous engine, and it showcases some ray tracing tech. So it's a minute and a half, 2 minute little demo. It shows a woman sit down in front of a mirror, put some makeup on, and what you're seeing is the ray tracing at work. So you're seeing some pretty complex lighting effects. I think the most impressive part of this demo is the mirror. So if you kind of watch the mirror portion, you're seeing really good reflections, and it looks very natural. I'm seeing some people point out that the animations of her hands and her eyes are a little bit off, and I guess I could see where some people are coming from, but I think it looks quite good. Now, this is a benchmark, so this is Square Enix. Yes, they're working with NVIDIA, but they make these tech demos and benchmark them on multiple pieces of hardware, and this will include PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlett. So that's something to keep in mind, is that while this is on NVIDIA and while Sony and Microsoft are going with the AMD, this tech demo is going to be running on everything that Square Enix has behind the scenes, and that does include PlayStation 5. And so I'm just pointing out, we may see this demo again, and we may see it at Sony's stage whenever they decide to tell us about PS5. Or maybe NVIDIA wants this demo locked just for them, and we get something else out of them. But this is almost exactly like in 2013 when we first saw PS4, where we saw that I don't even know the name of the demo, but it was a Square's tech demo, and it was a demo we'd already seen before. And so we are in that scenario right now where, because we're 1 year out from the next-gen launch, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is next-gen hardware, and this is definitely footage on NVIDIA's hardware, so we can't say that this is PS5 because it's not. But we will see this demo again in all likelihood, and it will be running on PlayStation 5 because that's what Square is doing in-house. So just a mention at least that you can look at this and get a decent idea of what Square is doing at least when it comes to what they want to accomplish in next gen. So you're ready for your weekly Death Stranding news? I told you, every week there's going to be a news story about Death Stranding. This one, really quick, so Kojima did confirm that there's going to be a very easy mode for Western audiences, I think is what the translation came out to. That sounds very weird and specific. I think he's referring to how, because there's celebs in the game, that might encourage inexperienced gamers to buy the game. I don't know, but there's a very easy mode on top of a harder setting, so not surprising. The game has a wide range of settings. There's no problem with that. That's good. Another thing he mentioned was that he would like to do a launch event of some sort, but didn't really confirm if that's going to be the case or anything like that. This is a major release for him. It's his first title out of his new birth Kojima Studios, so I think this would be something where it would warrant an event, and I think he kind of wants to make a little bit of a celebration of it low-key. Like, he's kind of indirectly saying it. Like, that's why he's so active on Twitter. I think he's genuinely so excited about this project on just so many different fronts. I think it's very important for him now that he's out of Konami, and he's just doing something this ambitious, and he's got all these big people attached to the project and all these cameo appearances, you know, that people are coming in and out of the studio, and a lot of conversations going on, a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears. I think he's just really getting down to the wire of being happy that the game's going to come out, and so he just wants to do a launch event, which I think he should do. I hope a big event gets planned and people are there and they just all genuinely have a good time and Kojima's happy. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But anyway, going on to our next news story, PlayStation Now, 10 more games have been added to the service, and they're PS4 games, which always more notable than when they add PS3 games because people still seem to forget, but PS4 and PS2 games can be downloaded locally to the hard drive, so makes it way more desirable, I feel. I know people don't want to stream their games, but, you know, if you're spending the $20-some-odd a month, which, yes, is very steep compared to all other subscription services out there, but at $20 a month, at the very least, you're downloading the PS4 games. You can play them offline for a few days before it has to, you know, verify that you're still a member. So not bad. Definitely not bad for sure. It seems like they take their time adding a lot of the PS4 games, but slowly but surely, the library is getting a little bit larger. Next up, as Persona 5 The Royal goes gold in Japan, Sony Interactive Entertainment President of Asia Territories, Atsushi Morita, said, "The series is very important to PlayStation." He was quoted as saying, "The IP has walked alongside PlayStation ever since the first release in 1996. I hope that we can continue walking together in the future." I'm seeing a lot of fans take this a bit too far, suggesting that Sony should try to purchase Atlas or try to acquire Sega or get Sega to, you know, let go of Atlas or keep the series exclusive with second-party funding, all this crazy stuff, right? The thing is, that doesn't need to happen between both parties. Now, I love Persona. I love it a lot, if some of you don't know. I mean, I have a Chie poster. Some of you have seen that. Some of you have infamously spotted my Kawakami body pillow on Twitter. Yeah, I'm a huge super fan, much like many other people. And the series has done so well. for such a what would be considered a niche game. I mean, it's the whole franchise is at 10 million copies now. Persona 5 shipped 2.7 million. That's a lot for that kind of game, which that's great. It did really well. But that doesn't make sense for Sony's bottom line, nor would it make sense for Sega. I mean, the franchise is more than likely going to continuously sell a lot on PlayStation. Wouldn't hurt to have it on other platforms. It's not the kind of game that's going to be a system seller. Wouldn't make any sense for Sony. Wouldn't make any sense for Sega. So let's stop that conversation right now. I don't think the series is going anywhere, certainly. It's not leaving PlayStation. It will always be on PlayStation. But if it goes somewhere else, that's not the worst thing in the world either. But as of right now, it's still, you know, they've got a good working relationship. And I think that's where that comment's coming from, is that they're just instilling goodwill. And that's genuinely all it is. I don't think there's much to really read into that. So if you don't know, we are a little over a week away from TGS this year. And surprisingly, Sony will be there, but temper the expectations. So they're bringing a few things. Death Stranding will be there with a new trailer. Ghost of Tsushima will be there with a not new trailer. So that was actually confirmed that it's likely going to be old stuff showcased there, which is pretty lame, but oh well. Concrete Genie will be there. I believe that's getting a new trailer. Medieval's going to be there, so we'll probably get a new trailer of that as that game creeps up to its release in October. Final Fantasy VII Remake will be there. It will be playable. So, you know, Sony's not going to be holding a conference or anything like that. They're going to be having a live stream showcasing some trailers, but I wouldn't expect any major information coming out of here. Honestly, this is where a lot of third-party developers and publishers are right now, where if you look at the event list, a lot of stuff is like we've already seen it, and it's like the same trailers actually. So this is that really weird spot where there's just so much new stuff going on behind the scenes, and we can't find out about it until next year. So we might have a very quiet TGS, but we will have more than likely something to talk about once the show is all said and done, and which we wouldn't really be able to get to by next LTPS, so probably the one after that, but I don't expect anything major. Also, we definitely have to talk about this tweet that went viral this past week. It's of a DualShock. The original poster says, "Do you call it X or cross?" And then the retweet, I forget who posted it, but I'm showing you the tweet. He says, "If anyone says cross, you're a cop," something like that. It's got like 72,000 likes, 15,000 retweets. Definitely funny. It stirred up a conversation. Now, we've mentioned it on the channel, I don't know, in fact videos or history videos. Some of you haven't seen everything, so I don't assume you to know this, but the original designer actually does call it cross. So that's a thing in Japan where the original designer called it cross. It was meant to be no or negative. Circle is technically supposed to be yes, or it's supposed to advance menus. And that's the thing with PlayStation hardware in Japan. I mean, it's sometimes polarizing, but I've got a lot of Japanese consoles, and they're like that on a hardware and OS level, where circle is to go forward and X is to go back. So that's hard to get used to sometimes. The thing is, with this, where do I stand? It's like GIF and JIF, where the guy that made GIFs, he called them GIFs, but everybody else just calls them GIFs on the internet. Same deal. So you can either be right and sound wrong, or be wrong and sound right. We all call it X. I'm one of those guys where it's like, if everyone calls it X, it's X. We've called it X for the longest time. I think that an overwhelming majority of people call it X. But if you want to be right, if you want to be with the original OG that made the controller, it's cross. But anyway, it's time for Let's Talk Plus, the weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you can win a $10 code. And this is the 52nd week. We've done this one full year of giving away $10 codes, $520 that I've just said, you know what? I'd rather pay for your game. So I'm glad we're still doing it. And I know most people don't know this because the channel wasn't that big back when I started it. But when I announced it, it was supposed to be like PlayStation Plus, where I'd pick a game every single week to give away. But there's no gifting games on PSN. And the codes on Amazon are for like $60 titles, and your boy ain't got it like that. And I can't buy codes out of my region because it's like super expensive. It's like $25 for a $10 code in that region. So that's also expensive. Your boy still doesn't have it like that. But I'm glad we're still doing it at least, and you guys are engaged with it, and you let me pay for your stuff every so often. It's my little way of saying thank you. And more you should really enter, because not that many people actually get to the end of the YouTube video and then follow the link and then actually do it. So your odds are pretty good if you haven't been entering. I'm just letting you know that right now. But anyway, the winner this week is Mir, so congrats. I'll be contacting you very soon via email or Twitter. If you would like to win a $10 code, very simple. Follow the link down below to the Gleam website supporting this channel. A number of ways can gain you an entry. Their winner will be announced next week. Those are some of the news stories I want to talk about that you all from this past week. And so my next video game documentary finally came out this Tuesday about PlayStation Home, the failure that made millions. I'm so glad a lot of you really enjoyed it. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from you guys. I'm so thankful for that, because that video took a really long time to do, man. That's why, because the last one before that was in May. That was on the PSP, so that's why it took so long to get this one going. A lot of reaching out to the community, waiting for responses, arranging interviews. But I'm glad I took that extra mile to really understand the community behind Home better, because I used a lot of Home, but I know I wasn't really a part of it like that. And so I hope I did it justice. I hope everybody from Home back then enjoyed it, had a good time. A lot of people nostalgic super hard. But yeah, PlayStation Home, really fascinating service. And I didn't mention it in the documentary, but you know, it's a service, yet so many people call it a game, which I also find pretty interesting. I don't know what conclusions I'd really draw from that, because it is a service that has games in it. And games, quite honestly, in terms of Sony hierarchy with that service, games were like the third or fourth most important thing when it came to Home, like when everything was all said and done. So it's so interesting that so many people refer to it as a game, but it was a huge driving force of revenue with digital items in such an early time frame, and really fascinating story. So if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. Tuesday's upcoming video, I'm not sure what it is. I've got two or three ideas, and well, one of those ideas will come out Tuesday, so you'll find out then. Other than that, though, that's it. So that concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you all next Friday.